Oh. What a night. Oh, I tell you, sleeping on the ground just doesn't. Oh, hello. It has been one more night. But then again, so has the journey that I have made recently. You know, I didn't get much sleep last night. In fact, I was so excited that I actually got up and left the place that my friends and I were staying and went and just looked at the stars. The sky was so clear. The stars were so brilliant. And so finally, I just lay down on the ground and began watching the stars, thinking perhaps doing that would help me to sleep. But the night was so clear. The stars were so bright. And I could not help but think of that one star that had brought us to this place. You see, I know a lot about stars, as do my brothers. We read the stars, in fact, to try and find out about the future. We are priests, but also astrologers. And our belief is that the stars are connected to the events that happen on the earth. We do not just read our religious texts from Zoroaster, but we read other scriptures from other religions as well, especially religions that share similar beliefs, such as the Jewish scriptures. For us, the stars are not separate. Rather, a new star or a conjunction of planets is the sign of a fravashi. How would you say? A spiritual guide that comes to the earth as the spirit of a great man that has just been born. And so, my friends and I noticed this star. And so, as we began to notice its brightness, we began to talk among ourselves. Other people around us began to come and say, "What is this star? What does it mean for us?" And we tried to see the future. We tried to look at their futures. And then we began studying scriptures. We did not find anything in our scriptures, but we did come across some writings in the Jewish scriptures about the possibility of the birth of a great king in this part of the world. Now, as I said, we read the stars. And as we began to look where this star was appearing, it became more and more evident that we were coming to this land, this kingdom of the Jews. Excuse me. And so we began making our journey. I thought I knew so much, and yet I have come to realize that compared to the God of heaven who has led us here, my understanding of the stars was very, very poor and very weak, even though I'm seen as an eminent scholar. In fact, I have written books. I have written essays about the stars and how the stars connect to life and tell the future. And so we began making our journey. We gathered together gifts. Gifts fit for a king. I myself brought myrrh. The finest ointment. The finest myrrh that money could buy. We had the glorious opportunity to lay our gifts at the feet of this new, wondrous king. I must tell you, his mother looked at me kind of strangely, because after all, we use myrrh primarily for embalming. And I guess she thought it was odd that I would give embalming oil to a baby. And yet I assured her that you could not find or buy myrrh any more wondrous, and no king could ever purchase finer myrrh than that which I brought to this child. For you see, this child is a king. At first we wondered. We thought we had all of this knowledge, and we began to move in this direction, and we came to this area. And as we began passing small town after small town, I began to wonder myself whether or not our astrology had let us down. For you see, the stars had never really let us down, well, not all that often, in the past. We talked all the way here. What could this mean? Where will we find this child? And so we journeyed through the countryside, and we noticed as we approached Jerusalem that this star seemed to be fairly close. Now, I don't know what you know about King Herod and Jerusalem, but that is where King Herod lives and rules. And I guess not much gets past his border guards without him noticing. And so as we were approaching Jerusalem, there were men that rode up on horses to approach our caravan. We could see immediately that they were from the king. And so we were invited to go have an audience with King Herod. I have heard of King Herod before. He was not generally thought of as a very friendly person. In fact, the stories are that he had had three of his older sons executed because he thought they might be plotting to overthrow him. And so we wondered. We were peaceful and peace-loving, but we wondered what would be in store for us. And so he invited us in, and he asked what we were doing there. And we said, "Oh, King Herod, we come bearing gifts for a king." He looked and said, "Oh, well, you shouldn't have, but I will accept them." A rather awkward moment. And I looked at my brothers, and then I looked back and said, "Well, they're not for you. We have been reading the scriptures and watching the stars and interpreting them, and these gifts that we bring are for another king, a king who has just been born, a king who will be, from what we read in your scriptures, Messiah." I really wasn't sure how Herod would take that. At first, there was a slight frown on his face, and then he called in his wise men and his priests, and he asked them about what we had said. And they began searching their scriptures, and one began to read and said, "Oh, yes, in Bethlehem, Ephrathah, there shall come from you one who will rule over Israel." I thought, "Ah, not Jerusalem, Bethlehem." Herod reacted a little bit better than I anticipated to that news. In fact, he held a banquet, invited us for a wondrous feast, fed us sumptuously, and then said, "Please, if you would, when you find this king, come and tell me so that I too may go and bow down and worship him." I thought that was rather magnanimous of him, considering that what I had just said was that there was another king that has been born. And so we left and began following that bright star, even to Bethlehem. I must tell you, as we began going into Bethlehem, I remembered that it was the hometown of King David. So perhaps we would find a wondrous small palace somewhere where a king would be found. what we found was a house that was really more of a hovel. But the stars seemed to be shining its light especially bright on that house. As we went inside, I began questioning again if the stars had indeed let us down, or if perhaps we were losing our powers to interpret the stars. We went inside, and there was a small child, just a matter of weeks old. His mother was there with him, holding him. His father seemed a little bit anxious as we approached and as he let us in. I guess perhaps because of the entourage of servants that were with us and our camels and our horses. And perhaps our dress. But he invited us in. Immediately, I knew. When I looked in the face of this child, immediately I knew that the stars had not led me there, but rather the God of heaven who placed the stars had brought us there. Can you imagine? Why deal with the created when the Creator Himself was present? I could see in this child's face and in his eyes the brightness of those stars and that one star shining, twinkling in those eyes. And I knew that he was destined to be a great king. Yet born in such humble circumstances, into a family that was not what you would expect of royalty. Very common. Very common. And yet, to think that the God of heaven, the God who created those stars that we use to interpret, the God who hung them in space, was allowing us to be with Him. I still do not understand why He chose me. This is not a God that I really have been familiar with all that long, and I certainly haven't begun listening to Him until the last few months. And so we placed our gifts at His feet, and we bowed down before Him and offered ourselves to Him. His mother and father invited us to eat. They had but very little there with them upon the table. But how do you turn down the invitation to dine with a king? We had provisions with us, and so we asked if we could share those provisions as well. And we dined together. And then we all settled down for the night. And this God once again came to me. I really do not understand why. But as I was lying there trying to sleep, suddenly He spoke. And so I came out here to lie down and to try and sleep. But His message, as I looked at those stars, continued in my head. Take your brothers and go another way. Do not go back by Herod, for he will seek to do harm. I haven't told my brothers yet that we're going by another way. I haven't really thought yet about which way that will be, but it could be an adventure. Certainly we have been on a wondrous adventure already. Maybe somewhere along the way, I could send a postcard to Herod apologizing for not coming back by. As nice as he was to invite us to dinner, perhaps he would understand, don't you think? Ah. In my land, I am eminent among the star scholars. Just wait until I tell them what this star has revealed about the God of heaven, the God of the universe, who comes not in grand robes, not wearing a royal crown, but who comes in humility and strength, bringing the knowledge of the ages in such a small child. I cannot help but tell. For the voice of this God is now stirring within me in places and in things that I did not know existed. My heart is stirred. My spirit is energized. Just wait until people come to me to ask about their future in the stars. They'll never know what hit them when I tell them about this star and this God. And so I would say to you, when you look at the stars, remember the one who placed them there is the one who came in such humble ways. Remember that He is not just for kings and priests and astrologers like me, but He is one for people like His mother and father, not wealthy, not powerful, but those who call Him their God are royalty even beyond what we could be. And so, come. Come and let us all adore Him. For you see, I have come to know from the God of heaven that He is the Christ, Mashiach, the Lord of all creation. Yes, brothers, come. I have news.